So welcome, everyone, to this episode of the Space Game Junkie Podcast. Around late April, we're recording this on April 23rd, I guess. As with me, as always, this is Brian, if you didn't know already. With me, as always, is my awesome co-host, Jim.
Hi-de-ho.
And we have a couple of guests this week. We have, from the Infinite Space 3 team, we have Ika Karenin. I hope I said that right.
Yes, that's right. Hello.
And Rich Carlson.
Hey there.
Hey, you guys. So before we talk about the reason we brought y'all here, there was some big news this week, and I just wanted to, you know, have a little discussion about it. That Gearbox, for some reason we didn't find this out last week, even when it happened. We found out yesterday that Gearbox are the folks that bought the Homeworld IP. And when I first heard about that, I was like, okay, they did the Borderlands games. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, those are good. But I didn't realize they were also kind of behind the recent fiasco of, Alien Colonial Marines?
Yeah, Colonial Marines.
Yep.
So what do you guys think about that? Because after I heard about that, I was like, oh, okay.
Well, I just kind of heard about it today. I haven't really processed it.
Great game, great bunch of guys over there. It sounds like they want to be very true to the original game, which is a good thing.
Yeah, that's
what they say.
Yeah, even if they just, I'd be happy if they just put it on GOG and Steam.
Oh, yeah, and do a port to the iOS like what was being planned anyway.
Yeah, I mean,
but the thing is, Gearbox has been on the receiving end of the outsourcing machine for quite some time. Mm. So now it's kind of role reversal where they get the license and then outsource. And I think they may have learned a lesson on that one. but it's kind of like, well, you can't blame them for what happened with Duke Nukem because they kind of got a pile, you know. It's like I sat in the press briefing in 2000.
Did you really?
They first started. Yeah, I was in the trailer at E3 whenever they revealed Duke Nukem Forever. Little did we know it would actually be forever, and you know. But it's kind of like I was surprised that it ever came out.
Ever.
Yeah, exactly. But I would like to know what they were actually doing for all those years.
They were making an awesome game, dude. Come on, didn't you read all the blog posts?
Oh my god, yes.
Shit? They were working they were working on an amazing game that I don't know how Magic turned into a pile of shit. And
well, what kept the lights on is what I want to know. Is who kept shoveling money into that furnace?
Somebody.
Wow. Well, I mean, Duke Nukem wasn't with Gearbox all of that time. I think they just came.
No, they got
it at the very end, didn't they? They got tail end, and some could say they were the ones that finally brought it to the market. But did anyone really need it to come to market? I've not heard one good thing about that game. Not one.
That's rough. It's rough. It was a long haul for those guys. You know, I mean, there's a lot of guys that came and went during that time at 3D Realms, too, passed through those hallowed halls and went on to other things. And new people came in and new teams. And wow.
Yeah.
That was a tough,
the best thing about the
one.
Game. The best thing about the game is that.
Did you play it?
Yeah, a little
what?
Bit. But the best thing about it is that it was not Daikatana.
Oh.
That's the one thing it had going for it.
Hey, we worked on Daikatana. You have to be careful here.
Wait, what? Who worked on who?
Are you the guys that are responsible for the Bionic Budweiser frogs?
Yes.
We deny all responsibility.
Wait a minute. Step back a second. You guys worked on Daikatana?
We were present, but not responsible.
That's right. We were in the building. We were not in the building, actually. We were across the street.
Oh, no,
it's true. We worked on Daikatana.
That was my first game
John
industry job.
All those guys.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that something? Who knew?
Wow, talk about bringing it all back. Good job, Jim.
Well, I think the topic of the evening has shifted.
Full circle, man.
Holy crap.
Hey, did you guys work in the Ion Storm offices?
We did, in Dallas, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, okay,
that's
awesome.
That's where we met, actually.
Yeah, that's where we got
No! To.
Truly.
Oh, my God.
Truly, and we knew it then. We knew we were going to do some games. That's absolutely the truth.
That is, wow. I wasn't even concerned about bringing it up to the this week's topic. But hey, there you go. There's the best seg ever. My God.
So funny story about that. I can't remember her name right now. The girl that used to work at the reception desk whenever you'd walk into Ion Storm.
Jennifer?
No, not Jennifer.
Not Jennifer. Pam? Who?
Oh, no.
No, she's married to the guy that is at Mumbo Jumbo now. He's like CEO of... God, I can't think of her name. Anyway, I saw her in Interactive Entertainment magazine, the CD magazine thing, the video deal that CD Mag used to do.
Uh-huh.
They had come in and done a tour of the thing, and I saw her on the tour of the thing, and she was super cute, right? And I remembered her name like 4 years later, and I ran into her at E3.
Cool.
And I was like, oh, hey, you used to work at Ion Storm. And she's like, wow, had you been there? I was like, no, remember when Interactive Entertainment, you know what? So I ended up hanging out with her. She was friends with Rob Atkins' wife, Rob Atkins from Ritual. And then I got to, like, I sat there with Level Lord, Rob Atkins, her, Joey from Disney Interactive, and, like, ate tacos and bullshit it all night.
Fun.
Just because I happened to run into her on the sidewalk, and it was like, hey, you were, you know.
What a small goddamn world.
It's very small, especially down in Dallas.
All right, so...
Yeah.
Wow, so after the Daikatana thing, you guys were obviously like, let's make a space game. That's what I'm guessing. Is that about right? Is that correct?
Kind of, but there was a little journey in between.
What was the journey in between? What was that?
We went to work for Looking Glass 2 years.
Oh, my God, really?
Wow. We both worked on Thief 2.
That's pretty. Oh, by the way, I remembered her name. It was Christina Sejcik.
Oh, Christina.
Yeah. You guys worked on Thief 2. I'm all a flutter. I did not know the presence of. I would be in the presence of greatness tonight.
Oh, we came in, we rescued the game. I'm just going to tell you.
Shut up. But anyway, back to the.
Yeah, go for it.
Right, so during Thief 2, when we actually started thinking about our space game, Infinite Space, that was in 1999.
That's true.
And that's when we kind of unofficially started Digital Eel, just in our spare time.
I just looked the first game up on Moby Games just to reminisce. It came out in 2002. It's been 11 years.
Yeah, you mean Strange Adventures?
Yeah, the first one.
Yeah, wasn't that 2001?
2002, kind of officially, but yeah, I think we had it out in 2001, actually.
Because I still...
Was it out on PC originally, or was it...
Yeah, PC.
I still have my disc, if I may just, you know...
Cheap-ass games.
That's awesome. Cheap-ass, they were so cool, yeah.
Yeah, discs. Remember those? Those are great.
I've got one, too. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's actually our second game. We made a game called Plasma Worm.
yes.
That came out in 2001.
Really?
Yeah, that was the first cheap-ass computer game.
It's like a snake game, but on drugs.
I do not remember this at all, but I do remember I do remember when I first played Weird Worlds. That's going to be hard to say. Weird Worlds. I just remember how excited I was because all I could think was someone took the essence of Starflight and burned it down to 20 minutes.
Right.
But they got everything. They got the exploration. They got the finding the treasures and the loot and finding the artifacts, and they got the upgrading the ship, and they got the combat. They got it all in 20 minutes.
Yes.
I'm still impressed by that game, I have to say, because as a Starflight nut, I played the hell out of that first game.
I did too. We're big fans of Starflight and Star Control too. Oh yeah.
Yes.
So there's a little bit of net hack in here too.
I used to play that a lot, and
yeah, he turned me on to net hack actually.
Yeah, later there's this game called Dungeon Crawl. Now it's
called Stone Soup.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we started playing with...
Yeah, Stone Soup's pretty great.
Right, and it's real popular now too.
I got to admit, I didn't even really know what a roguelike was when I was playing the first game, Weird Worlds. I didn't know at all. I just knew that hey, I could play a Starflight like game on my lunch break, and this is amazing.
Yeah, you know, we knew it had some of those elements, but it really came from kind of a different place, I think, kind of looking at board games and stuff that kind of did the same things. What do you?
Well, I mean, I was thinking of Starflight at that time too.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because the whole universe of Infinite Space, we were originally making a big like a Master of Orion type of game.
Mm.
Town players and
this insane huge thing.
Huge thing.
That's what we started working on in 1999, and then we kind of realized that we couldn't finish it. So
we could. It just would take a long time if we were going to do it part time.
Yeah,
you know, on our off hours. So
we sort of shifted gears and made a smaller game,
Plasma,
which became Strange Adventures.
Strange Adventures.
But we had all this background stuff, like the different alien races and
all their technologies and weapons and ships.
So we had a lot of stuff that we could put in, and then we just decided that what if we just condense all of this stuff into a very small game, a short game.
Sure.
A more like a casual adventure game. And it turned out great.
Oh, it did. It did. I played the first one to death. And then who was it that published it? Was that Matrix back in the day?
What?
Weird Worlds?
Yeah, the first one. Who?
Shrapnel.
Shrapnel. Oh, my God. That's right. Okay. I always get those confused. Wow. Yeah.
Hey, for the folks that are listening that have not played the game, by the way, it's available on Windows. You guys have a Mac port.
Yep.
And it's on iOS and Android,
that's
right?
That's right.
And you can get the first game for free. Okay. If you want.
Yeah.
The original from free.
Yeah, Strange Adventures is free now.
Go to the Digital Eel site or infinitespacegames.com.
Yeah, we'll definitely have links to this in the show notes. Don't
Great.
Even...
Yeah, so I've got Weird Worlds, both on PC and my iPad. Cool. And who did the iPad port? Did you guys just, you know, learn Objective-C and move it over yourself?
The iPad port was actually made by these guys at Astroware. It's a company in the UK. They have done some ports for us earlier. They made what was the thing? The Palm Pilot version of Strange Adventures.
There was a Palm Pilot version?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Pretty rare.
Wow.
Yeah. So for people who haven't played the game in any form, can you describe it real quick?
Dude, it's Starflight in 20 minutes. What more do you need? I'm kidding, obviously. Go ahead, guys.
Well,
you start out as a captain of a ship. You pick your mission type. There's three different missions you can choose from. One is a science mission. One is kind of a military thing. What's the pirate mission is the third one. Each mission gives you a different starting ship with slightly different gear on board. Then off you go, and you can kind of choose your own path from that point on. You choose star systems to explore, nebula material to avoid, other, you know, terrain of space can be a little dangerous, like black holes. Some of them you'll start the game knowing about. Sometimes they're hidden. You have to discover them, not get too close to them when you do, of course.
And it's funny.
Time limit.
And then there's a...
So you've got a time limit, and the nebulas slow you down, right? So it eats your time. And is the goal basically explore as much of the map as possible and loot as much things and get it back home before you run out of time?
Well said.
Yeah, the different things that you pick up, their value changes based on your mission type. So in the science mission, you'll want to mostly avoid combat and just try and fly around, find exotic life forms, and explore places and whatnot. And in the military mission, you get a higher score by defeating the bad guys, making allies, bringing back weapons, technology, things like that. So it's kind of different emphasis on the game, but kind of
pirate mission is sort of in the middle. You can do a little bit of everything and get a pirate mission is sort of the basic mission.
Yeah, and it's the pirate mission is kind of like the original Strange Adventures, where you're mostly just looting. You're just trying to grab as much stuff as you can and come back.
Now, the first game was pretty successful, wasn't it?
Strange Adventures?
Yeah.
Maybe critically more than financially. I mean, it's,
but enough to spur in a sequel.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but we made the sequel because we wanted to.
Oh, well, that's nice to be in that position where you can just do that.
Right,
right.
And let me ask, what convinced you guys to make the first one free? Was that like kind of a thing where if people play the first one, they'll want to buy the second one?
It had just been enough time. People weren't really buying it anymore. It's just there's like a kind of a big leap from Strange Adventures to Weird World. So it goes from the sort of 8-bit graphics to OpenGL. And
that's a big deal.
It's just a much, much bigger game. But, you know, there's still some interest in Strange Adventures.
Well, and we like to, when the game stops selling and we've moved on in time a little bit, it's nice to put them out for free. Just as sort of a nice gesture and get it into the public domain and that kind of thing.
Well, that's why I asked, because even people who have games going for years don't put them out for free. I mean, look at the guys who are still selling Escape Velocity for like 30, 40 bucks.
Right.
That game came out in what, 2002, 2003? And yeah, the price has never gone down.
The original Escape Velocity came in like 1996.
Oh, this is the piece. This is the one that was for the PC, Escape Velocity Nova. That was like 2002, 2003. And yeah, they're still selling it for like 30 bucks or 40 bucks.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So yeah, what you guys did is not very common. And I got to give you guys props because I think it's awesome.
Cool. Well, I mean, there's one thing for example, the id Software guys, John Carmack, likes to open source their older games after a while. And I wanted to do that with Strange Adventures.
Right.
I'll probably eventually do that with our newer games. But it's kind of cool because it also gives it like a second life where all the guys who are into making mods can then really dig deeper into it.
And there are a lot of mods for those games, really too. Cool. There are a good chunk of mods for those games.
Some of them are really good, too.
Yeah, no, I've played a few of them. They're really impressive.
Great. There's even weirder. I think weirder worlds. A lot of people like. Some people even like it better than the original game, which is great, actually.
Yeah.
So you guys are working on a new game. I wanted to talk about that because it's from what I've heard, it's an always online. It's got a lot of DLC, a lot of microtransactions that are going on in there.
New business model. When you fire your weapons, each bullet will cost you real money.
Oh God,
it's great.
Speaking of weapons, I do have one question. This is a very important question to me.
All right.
I think it might have only been the second game, but it might have been in the first as well. There's a weapon where it shoots this big ball, and anything it passes, that ball shoots lightning.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a wonderful one.
What?
Vortex cannon.
The particle cannon, yes. Is that going to be in the third game?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what that is, actually?
What is
that's our homage to the BFG. In Doom and Quake.
That's my favorite weapon in just about any space game.
Cool.
I got to say, I love it because you just shoot it, it goes zip, 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 zip. Zap, zap, zap. It just kills everything in its path. It's just fun to watch.
It's great when you... Okay.
I want a gun that shoots chainsaws.
Okay. Well,
all right. Back to Star Control 2. You know.
We'll make a note on that.
That's right.
Gun that shoots chainsaws.
Get that in for Jim.
It'll be the next iteration of the Mass Driver. Instead of shooting these little bullets, it'll just shoot chainsaws.
Yeah, and every time it gets a kill, you hear Bruce Campbell go, hey.
Now we would do that, something like that, right?
Did you get Bruce's phone number?
Sure. I know Bruce really good. He sent me his autograph once.
I'm a friend of his chin. I'm good friends with his chin. So you guys have this third game going, Space 3. It's, and you know what? I got to say, this came out of nowhere. I had no idea you guys were doing this. But it was awesome to see. And not to jinx it, but it seems to be doing pretty well. There seems to be a good chunk of interest because you guys are pretty well on your way to your goal, it looks like.
Yeah, we're really close. I think we're over 90% now, and we still got 10 days or so.
Yeah.
I think we'll make it.
Yeah,
it looks like you will, and that's awesome. So I watched the video today, and in the video you said you did this because someone passed away?
It used to be three of us, Rich and myself and our friend Bill Sears, who we met when we worked at this place called Amaze Entertainment.
Mm.
And he did art for all of our games for a long time.
He was an illustrator, painter, aware of his art.
Yeah, also, he did some music for Brainpipe, yeah. Things like that.
Interesting musician, too.
Mm.
We're all kind of polymaths here.
Poly something.
But anyway, he passed away last year.
Unfortunately. Yeah. I'm sorry.
So this kind of reason we need funding is because we have a bunch of artists now that are each doing like a smaller chunk of the game.
Right.
Instead of, trying to find somebody who could
just
pull
out
something where, everything in the game is that person's art.
Right.
It's a lot to ask somebody to just walk into that. We found Bill and, of course, worked that way over time, so it just became very natural to do for Bill. And he was very prolific. He would send me art just about every day, whether related to the game or not. He couldn't not make art, that kind of guy. So so that was pretty cool, and, we miss that. We miss him even more.
Yeah, of course.
He's a really, really funny guy. He was super creative and super generous and just an all-around really nice person.
But it looks like this very positive thing is coming out of what is something of tragic.
That's
great.
Yeah, I hope so.
I got to be honest. I was very pleased to see how well it's doing, because when I told people about it when I first saw it, people were like, "Oh yeah, Weird Worlds, of course!" And then people start backing it. So people are well aware of your games, which is great.
Yeah.
So what's the bullet list of differences between the current version and what you guys are going for in 3?
Well, mainly it's the 7 years that have passed since Weird Worlds came out.
It's a lot of ideas we want to get into. Obviously, the main difference is it's in 3D rather than 2D.
Right.
And there's still some... the combat system, it kind of works better as a 2D. We mentioned the Homeworld earlier, but that's a much more complex kind of interface. We don't have to go that far. So we're going to keep it, 3D graphics, but on a more... two-dimensional plane in combat.
I think there's going to be like levels of, height differences of various units and stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that should work out.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah, that's like that's actually going to improve some stuff a lot. Like in Weird Worlds, you occasionally have these situations where all your ships would try to stack on top of each other. And
yeah.
Be like scattering in different directions, trying to avoid each other, and this time. We'll have, if you have like a really big, slow ship, it might be on a different plane than the smaller, more agile ships.
So fighters will be able to move in and out, other smaller ships will be.
Oh, that's very cool.
Should be good.
To have things like space stations as well.
Oh, wow. One thing I saw that I really thought was interesting was it was the system where the ship is put together and taken apart dynamically. So it's all these different pieces that come together to make a whole, but then they could just be like sliced out. I saw that in one of the videos.
Yeah, it's this procedural thing I kind of put together that it's kind of hard to describe. It's pretty math intensive, but it can break up any kind of polygonal model and then add thickness to all the parts so that it looks, substantial. It's not just a thin shell.
Right.
And it's going to look great once we have, particle effects added to that. And
little guys like going, help, help! No, I'm kidding.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be good. They'd be really little guys, though.
That's
they?
The DLC.
That's the DLC. There you go. Thank you.
But no, it's very exciting because the videos that I've seen are, since the map now is going to be 3D, it looks like you'll be able to cram a lot more systems into maybe the same amount of space than you would previously because it was just 2D and everything had to be spread out. Now you can have systems on top of systems on top of systems.
Right.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of interesting. I think certain types of quests, like if you met the Ravians in Weird Worlds, they're the bug aliens that sort of show up from different sides of the map.
This was a really rare encounter in Weird Worlds.
Yeah, you may not have seen them. But anyway, things where you have to react to something that's happening on the other side of the map will probably be a little more, easily done in this game, because you can take a short distance through the middle of the map instead of having to go through 10 different star systems to get there.
Right.
Things like that. So we'll be able to do more dynamic quests where you'll have to react to something and go do something in different areas of the map.
So is it still going to be one planet per system type of thing?
Yeah, that's the way it is right now. There's going to be a little bit more to that with things like locations like space stations that will be in the same star system.
Right.
So you might have a little bit of like different locations within the star system.
Oh, that's cool. So what can you do with space stations? That's a new thing. What can you do with those?
Well, they're kind of interesting because you have it as a location like the planets are, where you can find stuff, but they would also show up in combat.
Right.
And, of course, things that happen to the... If the space station is destroyed in combat, then it goes away. You can't go there anymore.
Hmm.
And we can use them as locations for things like, say you're playing the military, you might be getting your orders at a certain location. There might be multiple things that happen throughout the game.
Be friendly stations and enemy stations and the range. So, you should be able to use the friendly ones to do maybe trade, all kinds of different things.
And we're thinking about things like going back to a space dock and trading your ship in for a newer, better one.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
So you guys are putting a bunch of more content in there. Are you scaling the time limit of the game to kind of compensate for how much more content is in there?
We'll see how that goes. I'm kind of hoping that it doesn't need to go like to an unrealistic length of time. I mean, how many captains really spend 30 years out at sea?
Really, this is time by years.
Yeah,
in light years. So
I mean, we'll be thinking of all of that and
finding a nice sweet spot.
Yeah.
Well, see, there's your in-app purchase because it can pop up insert coin to continue.
Do I have a coin slot? Oh yeah.
Now, so there is a time limit. Will there be like maybe an option to continue playing past the time limit if you're doing well, or do you still have to retire?
We usually penalize you for going over the time limit.
Right, that's why I'm asking, because, what if I get that awesome particle gun and I don't want to stop playing because I've got that awesome gun and I want to just kill things with it, Is it too bad? You got to stop.
Right, I mean, it's a good question. I don't know. We have talked about this a little bit. I know that there's some people who really want to have a very open-ended game mode. But it's not really part of the basic gameplay that we have.
It's pretty tight the way it is. It really changes it a lot if you open the end of it.
That's true.
So it changes the scoring.
I was just thinking about something like re-enlisting or something,
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe re-enlisting with the same ship because you have that awesome gun. I'm sorry, I know I keep going back to that gun.
Yeah, like if your next game could inherit things from your previous game.
Yeah, that'd be a cool idea. Like,
level of success.
Your son gets the ship
snowball
that you were using last time or something.
I love that. That's awesome.
That'd be cool.
We used to do that in D&D when we'd lose characters, right? You'd have you'd lose your fighter, so you'd have his son come in or one of the twins come in, right? Something like
that. Yeah. Did you guys ever play old game Island of Kesmai? Because there is a thing in Island of Kesmai where once you got a character up to a certain point, you could go to this. There was a particular dungeon that was on the island, and it was a real pain in the ass to get to and live. And you had to take friends with you, and you had to go in there basically naked because all of the things that you were going to you're going to inherit off to your heir. And you would go down to this altar and kill yourself. And then your heir would appear there also naked and have to get escorted out of the dungeon and then pick gear up. But that way they could start with half your experience that you had accumulated and all of your good gear. And yeah, and it was kind of neat. So it gave an incentive to, I want to re-roll another character because I've maxed leveled this guy. But now this time I want to be a different class or something. That was kind of neat, and I've never seen a game do
that
since.
That is a cool way to handle it. So your ship and your character and everything, is there going to be any more like maybe role-playing elements this time around, like stats, for example, or anything like that?
For the character?
For you, your ship, your character, you know.
I think we're going to show more stats this time. That was sort of the part of the deal originally was to not show stats, to keep that stuff off the screen. We thought it might turn, you know, a certain segment of gamers off to see that kind of thing. Mm. But I think most people actually want to see it. So
make it optional at the very least. If they don't want to see it, they don't have to see it. But you know, if they want to, if they want to dive into that sort of thing, maybe they can. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah, and originally, like in Strange Adventures and Weird Worlds, we didn't want to show like stat numbers for weapons because we wanted people to experiment and discover what they do by themselves.
I do like that. I have to admit, I did like that a lot.
Did you
read the descriptions and figure out what's better than what?
You watch, you listen. There's a lot of clues going on.
But we'll have some kind of simplified stats where it might not be like literal numbers, you know, this thing does 79 points of damage,
right,
and so on,
right.
But some kind of way that you can kind of look at a thing and it'll tell you that this is a stronger short range weapon, this is a medium strength long range weapon,
help you put together better combinations of things, you know, that work better together and stuff. And maybe, the experimentation is a lot of fun, but on the other hand, some people like to just have things a little more packed.
Maybe that could also be an option. Like sometimes, I honestly kind of like that. Like I read the thing about the gun, like I'm not sure exactly if this is better or worse. Let's try it. I actually enjoyed that, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
So that might be another good thing to make optional.
It might be an optional thing.
So are the same three archetypes available from the get-go this time, the science, the military, and the pirate, or can you make different archetypes? Or how is the starting game different this time around?
I don't think that we've really decided yet on that.
Okay.
There's a lot of ideas floating around right now. Some more extreme ones than others.
Yeah. we have ideas like you could be a... you could possibly sort of switch careers in mid-game just by going to a location and, getting a mission from the military or get a mission from the scientists. Or there might be a place like a science outpost where if you decide that what you want to do is go and gather life forms and come and sell them to the scientists at this place, then that's what you're going to do.
That's a...
So it's a possibility that we'll have something that's flexible.
I think overall the whole area of space that you're exploring is going to be more active, more alive than it was in Weird Worlds, because Weird Worlds, you know, you're pretty much what's going on is a card is dealt to each location.
Right.
And when you get there, you get to see what card you got. It's a lot like a sort of board game kind of. And everything's pretty much static, you know, when that card is dealt at the beginning of the game sets up. Nothing moves, you know, aliens don't move from star to star, with the exception of some encounters that are rare, like you mentioned the bugs, they're moving from star to star and stuff. But ordinarily, all the races pretty much stay at their home worlds, nothing's really happening out there. And in this case, it's going to be more active, I think. You may even see, we want to have alien races doing their own, following their own agendas.
That's great.
Yeah. Expanding their little empires, you know, things like that.
So, like, one thing that some people don't like about Weird Worlds is that especially early on in the game, the combat can be really hard, and then later on when you have full fleet that's all loaded with the best equipment, everything is kind of a pushover.
Right.
So like what we want to do is a thing where in the early game, all the other races start at kind of a low end as well, but then they reinforce over time. So it would be a little bit more like traditional roguelikes, where you'll start on the first dungeon level, you'll be fighting your rats and such. And then as you advance, you'll have much stronger enemies as well. So in this game, you'd have much less trouble early on in the game, where even with your starting equipment, you should be able to win a fight or two.
And it'll still be a challenge.
Yeah, but they reinforce over time so that later on in the game, you'll have bigger ships, bigger guns.
Larger cap ships, more powerful guns and weapons, you know?
Oh, no, that makes a lot more sense, and I have to say I like it, because sometimes that was annoying. You'd be like, okay, I'm just starting out. Oh, crap, there's a huge fleet. Run away. That could have been cool, but there's no way I could make it.
A lot of run away and wait until wrong and go back.
Of course, we'll still have some of that.
Of course. I would hope so.
You can't expect to run into somebody's home world with your starting Corvette and survive.
And survive. You can make a deal trying to talk your way out of it. But,
right.
Oh, that'll be awesome. So if there will be like those kind of diplomatic communication options to talk your way out of stuff.
Have all of that.
Absolutely.
Oh, good.
Probably even a little bit more so.
Yeah. Oh, good.
More options.
Good. That's exciting. Now going back, I wanted to make a suggestion for a starting archetype, real quick, since we talked about that for a second. Cruise director. Make like a cruise ship.
I think that's a great idea.
That's funny.
Don't get into any fights at all. Just show the wonders of the universe.
Yes.
And occasionally have sewage come out of the walls.
Your name has to be Captain Stubing.
Medhack has the tourist.
Medhack has a tourist class, right?
You get your expensive camera.
Yes. You take pictures and...
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Tourist class. I love it.
That's a good idea.
Well, I wanted to ask you guys if you'd played any of this, and also the comment that no game recently has abused me as much as FTL, awesome. Because it's just like the punisher of success. Anytime you think you're doing well...
Have you guys played that one? Probably
have,
right?
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, that game gives me an anxiety attack. I'm going to be honest with you right now.
It's pretty frenetic, yeah. It's great.
I just modded it, though.
Those guys are awesome. That's a great game.
Yeah, they are. I just modded it, though, to take the Rebel fleet out, and it's actually a lot less stressful.
Oh, that's an interesting approach.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I'm kind of happy to see a lot of the strategy things coming back, in the roguelikes and that. Like, we've got FTL that's come back. XCOM.
Very cool.
Thank God somebody finally remade XCOM. And these sorts of things. So I'm happy to see manageable, like, bite-sized gaming come back.
Me too.
There's a couple other things that are out
there. Now, if someone would just remake Indiana Jones as Desktop Adventures again, I would be so happy.
That's right in the pocket.
Oh, yeah.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, Brian wept openly for the Yoda stories the other week.
I was so upset.
Heard about the Indiana Jones games a lot.
So how far along is the game right now?
It's pretty early at this point. Just working on the systems.
Getting the foundation of the thing set up to lay the game on top of.
Because it looks pretty nice already. I like the look of it.
Good.
Yeah, we're kind of prototyping the look and feel of the game at the same time.
It's a ways off. I mean, it'll probably look a little different, you know, by the time it all comes together. But you're seeing, I think, basically what it'll look like.
Are we talking like 2014? Is that what?
No, we're shooting for end of this year.
Okay.
Holidays.
Holiday season.
Oh, that'd be perfect. Yeah, that'd be totally perfect.
Sure.
So are you targeting Steam as a distribution platform right off, or do you are you going to be subjected to the green light process?
Well, that's kind of up to them, isn't it?
And it's a neat way to go in a lot of ways, too. So I guess we haven't really made a decision about that yet.
Well, I was very happy to finally see Weird Worlds get on there. I'm sure I'm sure that has definitely generated interest.
And we have other games on Steam, so it may be able to just get a foot in that thing.
Yeah, I bought Data Jammers, and I had no idea you guys made it until tonight. So
I missed that. What's Data Jammers? I missed that somehow. What is
it's an arcade game.
Oh.
It's like a Tron meets Spy Hunter.
Really?
Hot Wheels.
Yeah, it's kind of like a slot racing game sort of thing.
Because there's lanes, you bounce from lane to lane, you kind of sink into the groove in each lane, bounce to another lane. You kind of have a weapon that blows stuff up in a radius around you. That's really the only weapon you have. It's avoiding a nasty enemy.
It's more of a non-shooter. It's
a non-shooter, yeah.
Hmm.
It's just kind of different for an action game where it's not viable.
Yeah, I think you need to pull the trigger on it, Brian, because it's your kind of game.
It's a risk game. You can play the whole game in just, what would you say, about
a couple hours
you know? Which is something
we we added sort of an easy mode. It originally didn't have any lives, so you'd have to replay a level from the start if you got killed. And well,
we came to our senses. We added lives.
So you
can choose to play with lives or without lives.
That's a nice option.
Yeah,
some people hate lives.
Sure.
Yeah, it's got like the hardcore mode.
Hardcore mode.
Original. Some reviewers were like, what is this? It's insane.
So with Infinite Space 3, I don't know why I'm blanking on this, but I don't recall whether the previous two games had boarding or not. I mean, I remember you'd find a derelict and you could board that, and sometimes you'd find something awesome, and sometimes it would be a trap. But I'm wondering, will you be able to like board other ships and take them over this time around? Because I love that sort of thing.
Sure.
We have talked about that stuff. We don't want to allow unlimited number of ships in your fleet just because it becomes really a sort of a too much of a micromanagement thing.
Okay.
It's in Weird Worlds we found that 5 ships is enough, and if you go much over that, it becomes a hassle.
5? I was lucky to ever get like 3. 2 or 3, and then it'd be like, oh, I got 3 other guys with me. I can kick some ass. Nope.
Well, you know, you can.
Nope.
Nope.
No, I'd be like, oh, okay, now I can take on these guys because I have 3 friends. No, I can't.
Did you ever wish for a second particle vortex cannon?
Oh, God, yes.
Oh, yes. So you got 2 of them, you know. Whoa, then you are king.
I just want to mod that gun into other games. Like, I'm playing through TIE Fighter right now. I would love to be able to put that gun on, like, an assault gunboat. It would actually make that fighter useful.
Oh, yeah.
No, you know what they'll do? They'll do it like the expansion for Privateer. It's like they let you get the gun.
You know I hate that, Jim. You know, every time you mention Righteous Fire, I want to kill something.
You showed such restraint, man. When we were on an interview with Chris Roberts, and I purposefully egged him on before the interview.
So mad. I'm still bitter.
Don't hold those grudges, man. It'll get you.
I shouldn't.
It'll tear you apart, man.
I know. It tears you apart from the inside. I shouldn't, but I love that gun. I loved my sweet alien gun, and they took it from me.
How could they?
Sons of bitches. But in this third game, will you be able to mount 2 of those particle vortex cannons?
Oh yeah, if you find 2 of them.
Absolutely.
I never found more than 1 in Weird Worlds.
Well, you have to wish for the second one, and I'm not kidding. You have to find the device that allows you to wish for anything in the game.
Oh, you really?
Yeah, not kidding. It's which device is that?
Which is available at the $1,000 level of Kickstarter.
Oh, you mean the crystal? What is it called?
Oh, the bobble.
The bobble,
the
yeah.
Timeless, yeah, bobble, where there's a dude trapped inside of it, and you have to crush it, release the dude, and he's so happy for getting released. You know, he's trapped in this gem. It's a long story. But you release him, and he's so happy, he'll give you something from his hidden fortress. And
he's got everything.
He's got everything, even stuff you don't want. So if you wish for something unusual, something not in the game, he'll give you a life form or something weird, you know, just for trying. But people who get it, they'll go, oh, I wonder if I can wish for a temporal flux shield, and they'll get their shield. And if they're really smart, they might even wish for a weapon we don't ordinarily allow. And if they've looked in the INI files, they can wish for a Kawangi, what do they call it? Can you wish for a Kawangi?
The Nova Cannon?
Nova Cannon?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. So,
what is this?
You have to cheat. You have to cheat to be able to do that one.
Well, you have to know that it exists. But I know at least one person who found it legitimately. He wished for a Nova.
Oh, my God.
And so, what does the Nova Cannon? I've never even heard of this. What does the Nova Cannon do?
Well, it blows things up really good.
Blows things up really good. It shoots really slow. Kind of goes, you know, these things lurch out. They travel really slow. You can avoid them, kind of. But if they hit you, oh man, it's like one hit. A lot of ships will go down.
Is it cooler than the particle
cannon? It's not a good close range weapon. No, I'm kidding. What?
Is it cooler than the particle cannon?
No, nothing is cooler than the particle cannon.
That's right.
Actually, isn't it in the, if you play the example mod, the Super Pirate mod?
Super Pirate.
Yeah, ship with Weird Worlds. It's just kind of an example mod to show modders how to set up a mod.
Mm.
So we made this little thing where the pirate corvette is loaded with the super weapon, so it has the Nova Cannon on one side and the particle vortex cannon on the other.
Whoa.
It's fairly unstoppable.
I haven't tried that, but now I must.
You know, I forgot about that. It's been so long. That's true.
Well, once I get my Steam copy from the Kickstarter, because I kicked at that level.
Awesome.
Sweet.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I kick to a lot of space games, thankfully. Yeah. I mean, you have to if you're a fan.
Yeah, they're the best ones anyway, right? Right? Oh,
absolutely. Now, you guys have, like we were saying, the Kickstarter has been going pretty well. How much planning did you put into the Kickstarter? How much, you know, time did you spend preparing it beforehand, before you launched the thing?
I'd say a good 2-3 weeks.
A lot of thought into it, yeah.
Okay.
Getting everything ready, getting people together, deciding, you know, the levels of involvement, that has to be worked out pretty close. It's very expensive, too, and so that cost has to be covered to take care of everybody's premiums. What were you saying?
I forget.
No, because it's an example of a good campaign, because you have a modest goal. You were very upfront about, you know, the what you needed and why you needed the money and right. Everything. So I think it's been a pretty well-run campaign, if I may say.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, it's our first. We have never done this before. And it's also one of the first videos that I have ever cut together. And certainly the first one that I've appeared in.
Can I make a suggestion for your next one?
Absolutely.
More updates.
More updates.
More updates.
How many do you want to see? A couple of weeks? More than that?
At least a couple of weeks. See, I work in internet marketing.
Okay.
And so there's a lot of SEO in Kickstarter. And one of the things we always encourage our clients in SEO is when you have a blog or when you have Facebook or something, constant updates. At least weekly, at the very least.
Right. We had a little lag initially because Eco went on vacation the first week. So we had to wait a little longer than a week to get the first update out.
Okay.
And then more recently, I think we've been a little bit more timely with them. And you can see the difference when they do go up, too.
Yeah, no, I mean, you are doing them, which is great. That's just my suggestion for the next one.
No, that's a good suggestion. I agree with you.
Because that's... that's one of the beauties of Kickstarter, is it gives this level of transparency that fans have never had before.
Wow, that is amazing.
Yeah, that's true.
And so, you know, taking advantage of that. Huh? Sorry?
Yeah, we'll probably try to continue making at least weekly updates on our website as well at infinitespacegames.com.
Oh, no, that's great. That's great. People love that stuff. People love, especially when they feel like they're investing in your dream, which is what Kickstarter is.
Yeah,
that is it.
People love that sort of thing.
I like it too. It feels really good, and it's good to be in touch with people that way. We haven't had that opportunity before, precisely. And kind of working with another distributor, all of this kind of out of our hands. We made a exclusive agreement with Shrapnel Games and stuff, so we were kind of separate from the gamers who were playing the games. We tried to communicate with people on the forums, but that only goes so far.
Yeah.
You know, and the forums, it wasn't like we were interacting directly with the indie community either. We were more or less interacting with Shrapnel Game fans.
Yeah, and Shrapnel is like a niche within a niche. They're like even a smaller niche than Matrix even.
Absolutely. They gave us a really nice break, though, because a lot of people didn't really understand what Weird Worlds was. Mm. And really, we pitched it to a couple different parties, and Shrapnel said, oh, yeah, they got it right away. This fellow named Richard at Shrapnel looked at it first, and he totally understood it, loved it. And so we went with that. It was good that we did. We needed to get the thing out and happening so that we could also move on to other things.
Right. I forget, is Shrapnel still around?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, they're still doing, you know, war games, basically, which has been their stock and trade for a long time.
Okay.
Although we don't have anything at Shrapnel anymore.
Right, right. That was also a big surprise when all of a sudden, hey, we're not with Shrapnel anymore. Whoa, hi, guys.
Right. Well, it was a good thing, though, because, you know, we got to lower the price.
We got
to offer it at Desura and at Steam and, you know, kind of self-publish, which is really great.
I know so many people who once they saw the game at the lower price are like, finally, and then they bought it.
Yeah, you know? Well, sure. I think it was being sold at pretty much full price all the way through. So it was really nice to be able to drop the price.
Yeah.
We didn't really have any control over that before. So
Shrapnel had the concern where they were selling the game on a CD in a box.
Right.
And they didn't want to undercut the sales by selling the digital copies at a lower price.
Yeah, there was that too.
But I think that the times have changed.
Oh my God, yes.
Sure. Who buys
CDs anymore? I mean, I don't remember the last PC game I got on a CD.
I can hardly too. Yeah. Well, let's see here.
I can't. I.
Hey, I got Empire at War, right? I mean, that was...
I think maybe the last game I got was Portal on disc.
Oh, sure.
Because that's what got me onto Steam, and then it was just I was done after that.
Right. Then Steam and GOG and all these places, you know, become the way you get games, you know? And GOG is amazing.
Oh,
thank God. Play all the Wing Commanders? I mean, come on.
Oh, they're the best. I love them.
They are. I love
them so much.
Me too. Big fans.
Yeah, I was obsessed over Wing Commander 2 back in the day.
Two!
It was one of the first games that I actually bought.
Wow. Oh, really?
I love
them.
That's another story, yeah. Yeah.
2 is actually one of my favorite ships from the entire series, the Broadsword.
The bomber.
Yeah, so cool.
And great in that game, too. Beautiful.
And I love the ferret, too. I don't know what it is about that little tiny ship, but I love the little ferret. There's just something about that little pencil-shaped fighter.
A little fighter?
Yeah, a little tiny fighter.
Yeah.
Oh, Wing Commander. Yeah, but now they have all of them except for Prophecy. I don't know what's going on there.
Prophecy. I play Prophecy.
Prophecy. Well, they don't have some of the other ones, I guess. They don't have Armada or...
they don't have Armada, which was awesome.
I love Armada.
Did you play Armada? All right.
Oh, yeah, I played them all.
Awesome.
Even Academy, sadly, which is...
I never played Academy.
You didn't miss a damn thing.
Okay.
it was basically like, let's make the simulator a whole game. That's basically what Academy was.
Okay.
It did have modem play, and the big thing was you could fly a Drouthy. I think you can, that was the big thing.
Oh, that's cool.
You could fly a Drouthy. That was kind of neat. Yeah, there's like no reason really to reminisce about that one.
I used to have fun playing Armada, calling up a friend of mine. We made our own taunts, of course. Did you do that? Did you make your own taunts?
You could make your own taunts?
You could, and you traded each other the taunts, so you could hear his taunts.
No.
It was awesome. So, you know, I think I got mine from Wrath of Khan, right? And my friend Brian, he got his from Star Wars, of course, you know. I have you now, you know. You know, so.
I didn't know you could do that.
Oh, it was great. It was crazy.
I wanted to ask you, you have a board game version of Infinite Worlds, it seems, right?
Infinite Space Explorers?
Infinite Space, yeah, I was looking at that. I'm not big into board games, but this looks kind of cool.
It is. It's real simplified. It's really a card game is what it is.
Really?
It plays with cards, yeah. And you collect the ships and weapons, and you play cards in combat. You still explore from system to system. You do that kind of thing. It's a very quick game and very active card play.
Because I was just looking at the website for it. Like I said, I'm not into board games, but I kind of want a copy now just cool. to try it out.
It's pretty fun, and you could even just play the ship combat as a card game. Like just take the cards,
take the strategy and aspect out of it, and just play cards.
Just deal a hand of cards to each player and. That gives you random ships and random items and go head-to-head.
Oh, wow.
It's really fun.
So it's both kind of a board game and a card game.
It really is. The board game helps you compete against other players, helps you attack other players, you know, that kind of thing. And then, of course, the cards right over the top of that.
That seems kind of natural coming out of the computer game, because it seems like you were saying, it's like a perfect fit for a board game.
Sure. It does fall into that real easy. It just seemed very logical to do it. And it's funny because it works the other way too, because when we were thinking about combat, how to do the combat with cards, it actually affected how we're doing combat now in,
Wait, you're not doing cards in Infinite Space 3, are you?
Not literally.
Good. No. Because it's called Endless
Brian
Space.
Brian has this
and
problem.
It's called card-based combat, and I've played card games before. Sure, I'm not a huge fan, but Endless Space makes me want to take a card and slip myself with it. That's how much I hate it.
Oh, you really hate it. Wow.
I do. It's okay. Like,
you don't play cards on the computer, I mean.
Well, I mean, I have before. Like, there was this card game that was in one of the Might and Magic games that they made into its own card game that I forget what it's called now.
Oh.
But that was a ton of fun. I played that one to death. And then, do you ever play the Etherlord games? They're like kind of a mix of Might and Magic, But they're on GOG, and the combat is the collectible card thing, and I love those.
Yeah, like but, Magic. Yeah, yeah.
But it doesn't always work. Like I was never like a Magic fan.
Uh huh.
But if you do it right, it works. But with Endless Space, I wanted to kill something. Mm-hmm. I did. So I was getting a little worried there for a second that you guys are going to do that, but
yeah, no. No, it's just kind of the arriving and escaping in combat. This kind of, that aspect of it was kind of influential.
Yeah, there's this idea in the board game where in the combat you have a hand of cards. Mm. You have cards on the table, so you can keep ships in reserve and they're in your hand. And then you play them on the table to engage in combat.
Mm.
So this kind of gave us an idea for Sea of Stars, where we are going to do this thing where you can keep some ships in reserve.
Oh.
And sort of drop them into the combat screen in different locations, or all at once, or one at a time, or pull them out of combat.
Yeah, and escape them the same way, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's very I saw an example of escaping.
Yes, you do. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's like it's like in Weird World and Strange Adventures, you had to sort of physically escape on your slow thrusters. It take forever.
Right.
You have to either reach the edge of the combat map or be safe for a certain amount of time or whatever.
And you know how it is in Star Wars. When you want to get out of there, you want to get out of there.
Yeah, you want a hyperspace.
You're out of there. Right? Yeah.
So we're going to have this system where escaping means you can engage your star drive in combat. But it just takes a few seconds so that you'll have a few seconds where you'll still be vulnerable to the enemies
that's
firing at you. But it only takes a few seconds and then you're out.
And then bang.
So as long as you hit the escape, you know, early enough, you should be able to get out of a bad situation.
That's very cool. And combat is real time again, but you can pause it and give orders and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, yep. Perfect. Perfect. That is absolutely fantastic. Because I did love the combat. Because one of the things about Starflight, the combat was terrible.
Yeah, it was pretty weak.
Well, no, if I remember, it was text, wasn't it?
No, it was.
It had kind of a semi-real time thing.
Kinda.
In a screen.
Oh, and the text and a screen. Yes. Okay, it's been a while. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it basically took place in the encounter screen, but you'd hit the weapons, then you'd move and fire, and it was it was very inelegant. Much of the game, honestly. I love Starflight, but it's not the most elegant of games.
Well, you know, clunky.
Yeah. But yeah,
totally. Wow. Yeah, that actually inspired one of our first shows. It was games where the gameplay was great, but the interface was horrific.
Did you ever play the original Harpoon, by the way?
Ever play what?
Harpoon.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I have.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I was just thinking of clunky interfaces.
That was a clunky interface. I don't know if you guys have ever played the rules of engagement games, but some people consider those clunky. I love them, but some people just look at that stuff and go, what?
Clunky and clunky.
Yeah.
Some people, meaning specifically me.
We're always thinking of ways to streamline the interface, make it easier to work with.
And that's part of the beauty of these games is it's all streamlined. It's like you're taking this huge endeavor and you're capturing the soul, the essence of it. You're shrinking it down to this little, much more bite-sized, thing, which is awesome.
Well, that's, what differentiates it, too, from other games, other roguelikes and things. There's actually one game that did it before we did. And it's a roguelike called Lost Labyrinth. And it's very cool. It's still around. There's a free version, and I think there's a pay version, too. Mm. But it was a lunchtime roguelike, It was a short, playable fantasy roguelike. Really, really the first of that kind. And but we didn't know about it or anything. We just decided to do this, on our own. But it came out about a year before Strange Adventures.
So, I'll have to look that up.
I want to give credit where credit is due.
Oh, sure. No, I'll have to look that up because I am on something of a roguelike kick right now. I've been playing one called Teleglitch. I don't know if you guys have heard of that.
I've heard of it. I've never tried it.
It's
saw it on Reddit.
It's really good.
Is it really?
It's really, really good.
Are you playing Tome at all?
I have it. I've tried it. It's a little obtuse.
Oh, yeah.
So I haven't dived into it too much. The one I've been playing mostly is the Doom one. Doom.
Yeah, me too. I've been playing that recently, too. I really like it.
It's so good.
It's fun.
It's really, really good. It's like
Have you won it yet?
I don't win roguelikes.
They're hard.
I never win those games.
Once, but on the easiest setting.
I've never won FTL. I've never even come close because I get to a certain point, I die. I'm in the corner in a fetal position crying over the loss of Frank and Jim and whoever else because they have names. And so I'm like, damn it, Jim. I'll miss you. And so I'm definitely on a roguelike kick, and there aren't enough sci-fi roguelikes. I mean, there are getting to be some more, and yours is a prominent one, but
that's that is wide open. I mean, just think of all the genres you could do with roguelikes. I mean, it's really wide open. And I hope lots of folks who are making games, you know, think about that. Because, you know, a friend of ours said he had a great idea for Weird World's variant. And it was like World War II, the Pacific Theater. And, you know, instead of stars, you have islands, right?
Mm.
And instead of space, you have the ocean. And, of course, the ship, the naval units are pretty much analogous, right? Sure. And like a cloaking ship, well, the analogy would be a submarine that can dive, you know, and stuff like that. And I just thought that is a perfect variant, you know.
That would be amazing.
I told him, you need to do it. And he said, well, I don't have time to do it.
I would buy that.
I would buy that and play
the fucking shit out of it. I would. Oh, my God. I would love that.
I know. But just think of all the things you could do. I mean, you know, like that. I mean, you could go into any time period. You could go on land. You know, you could do it on land. You could do it on another planet. You could do it in the Old West, you know, I mean, up anything. There's a lot of roguelikes going in development right now. And I'm sure, you know, lots of people are trying to do
things. Yeah. Jim, yeah. What were you going to say?
I would like to see a simple board game like Axis
awesome.
And Allies mm-hmm. get ported into space. Just a thing, and make it multiplayer as you know.
Yeah, what's kind of funny is that at one point we were thinking about making one with space.
Now wait, I'm going to admit something. I've never played Axis and Allies. So how would that? What would that be in space? Tell me what that would be in space.
Start Axis and Allies. You know, playing the five groups, the Russians, the Germans, the Americans.
Oh, okay.
So that's already set, and right. so there would be that. And, you know, you're given a historical setup. Of course, there's still that, what if you did this instead of follow how it was done historically? It's very simplified. It's very almost abstracted to the point of you're just rolling dice and moving units, like a slightly more complex version of Risk. You know, you play Risk, right?
Only on the computer.
Oh, well, okay. But you know what I mean.
It's the same game.
Very simplified war game.
Right.
But you know, there's you could certainly do a space version of it.
And it's tough to get that license, right? But if you port it into space, then license be damned.
Yeah. Right. I mean, you would.
You know,
right. I mean,
you can have
really,
very
like
similar gameplay.
Like, we were starting to make, but we canceled it in favor of, I think, Weird World, actually.
Yeah.
It was pretty simple. It just had a map. You had our alien races and humans as well, and you'd have pretty simple production. You'd be able to just build kind of generic ships.
You remember Armada, right?
Take over places.
Not unlike Wing Commander Armada. A little bit more complex than that. But, you know, Wing Commander Armada, you're just collecting very simple resource points to build ships. Nothing more, really.
Yeah.
You're eventually, what are you doing? You're just tracking down, like, the carrier, right? The other guy's carrier.
Mm.
And when you deliver the big one to that carrier, when you found it, you've won the game. So, you know, it was kind of along those lines. But we let it go to do Weird Worlds, as you said.
Might you ever revisit it? Because that sounds kind of awesome.
I know.
It's a possibility. It's just like when we were working on it, this was after Strange Adventures. So, like, the technology in that game was Strange Adventures tech. So then we kind of put that down, and I started working on the technology that was going to become Weird Worlds with OpenGL graphics, all kinds of better stuff.
So you commit
to
that.
So then we committed into making a game more similar to Strange Adventures, but with the new technology and, well, other new ideas that we have had in the meantime.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and better sound and more of it.
Yeah, it was at a time where we didn't really have a way to do matchmaking unless we had like contracted it with somebody like GameSpy or
right.
Something. Steam wasn't really around.
Steam
yet.
Wasn't happening, so right.
Yeah,
it was a little bit before its time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so, maybe if this Kickstarter does well, maybe maybe that should be the next one, because I would play that.
It could be.
But then again, I'll play just about
it. We'd love to work on something like that.
So what was the last game that really grabbed you?
I know mine. I was playing it just now. I know mine.
You know, for a while.
Go ahead.
What's yours?
Euro Truck Simulator 2.
Really?
I'm sorry. I can't. I can't stop playing it. I can't stop.
Strangely, I got Star Control 2 from GOG and played the heck out of that. And that really ate a lot of my time. But, you know, now we're working on this, and so we work on this instead of playing games.
Right. Yeah, for me, I think that the last game that I really spent a lot of time on, well, it's something that I have been playing a long time, is Starships Unlimited.
Oh, yeah, Starships
Unlimited. Oh, that's beautiful. A fabulous game.
You like it?
It's a fantastic
game.
Oh,
yeah, I mean, there's something so wonderfully elegant about the design and the execution of that game that it still holds up so many years later.
Yeah. It's just a game that I always went back to. Like, what game should I play? Oh, Starships Unlimited. I'll play that.
I played that one to death after a kid. I haven't played it in years, this reminds me. But
that we did too. I haven't played it in a while, too, but I think you could still play it.
Yeah, well, the thing is that I had it on my XP machine, and now I'm kind of moved on to my Windows 7 machine, and I don't think it'll run on it.
Yeah, there's sort of a version before he did the big interface change, remember?
Yeah, there was Starships Unlimited, the original one, then there was Starships Unlimited Divided Galaxies. That was the second one. Yes.
Modern operating system, right?
Yeah, I just like the first one because it's a shorter game. It's quicker. It doesn't kind of extraneous thing. It just does what it does, and that's everything it needs to do. It's great.
Oh.
Yeah, I had actually missed that game, but I'm looking at some screenshots of it, and I think it's kind of interesting. The ships are on a map, and they've got
a lot of like 4X
looks like weapon arcs
spanning
and
games.
Ranges.
They focus on the empires, they focus on the diplomacy. This is all about the ships.
It really is.
Yeah, it's kind of almost similar to what we're doing. What we're doing in our games is dressing up the ship with all these systems and weapons and whatnot.
Yeah. No, the Starship Unlimited games, I forget if you can still buy Divided Galaxy or not, but it's a great game.
I'm pretty
game.
Sure you can. I know it's Ape Zone or whoever that guy is.
Yeah, Ape Zone, that's right.
Ape
Very
Zone.
Good.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Andrew, I want to know what is his name?
Andrew, yeah.
I'm totally blanking. I would look it up right now, but my keyboard would make a billion decibels, so okay. I don't want to... But, Ape Zone, that's right. Yeah, I think he's still selling it. He might be still selling it through Matrix, actually, as well.
I didn't know he was selling it through Matrix, actually.
I think he was, I think.
We got it, like, right from his website.
Yeah, I think you can do both. I don't remember if you still can. Sure. But, that's a very obscure one, but that's a good pick, man.
There was, you know...
Yeah, it's $24.95 on his website.
Yeah, I remember.
He's got this other game
tried.
Called Starship
I never
Kingdom.
Did either, yeah.
I never heard of that.
I don't even really remember it too much. It came out much later, I think. But I think it kind of slipped away from me. Yep. That's one of the reasons I'm doing this site is so I can play every one of
ship
these games.
As well, actually.
I noticed that. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's the goal. It's going to take years, but it's, that's the goal. It's going to be great. I just started playing a Star Trek game from 1973 yesterday.
Holy moly.
Wow.
And
the original Star Trek, the original, like, where the Klingons and stuff have different names and stuff?
It is that one, yeah. And you actually have to type out the name. Yeah. You actually have to type out the name of the ship you're tracking, and it's very, like, if you misspell it, you're screwed.
Yeah, it's very texty, and yeah, I love that game.
Yeah, I'm finding it very oblique, but you know.
Yeah, it's we used to play that, I think, on like a dumb terminal.
Yeah, yeah. Jeez. See, I played the 78 version before I played that one. With okay. You know, it's got the grid, and you've got the.
Oh, yeah, that's probably the one I'm thinking of, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, you're on the grid, and like move course 7, and the numeric keypad. Everything corresponds to the numeric keypad.
Yeah.
But no, this 73 game is even more obtuse than that.
That's pretty.
Yeah, this is the game that makes you actually appreciate. What was the other one that you had me play that I couldn't deal with? Rules of engagement.
It's like,
oh my God, rules of engagement. What a godsend.
This 73 game, it's like, your game is going to be so much simpler than this. Basically, it's like lock phaser on target. Lock which one phaser? 1 through 6. Lock phaser 1 on what target? Dauntless. Okay. But it's not pointing at the dauntless. So track target. Which target? Dauntless. Okay. Load tube, torpedo tube 1. Torpedo tube is loaded. Lock tube 1 on target. Which target? Dauntless. Okay. It's like, oh my God.
All right, we're going to rewrite Sea of Stars. We got to get this in there.
I know.
It's please. Terrible.
Wow. Please, God, no.
I can remember when that stuff would be considered very cool to do.
It's like,
oh, yeah.
Because it was all brand new, you know, and of course, that's the natural thing you would want to do is. I want to control every aspect of my ship.
Yeah, now I don't have if I had started playing that when I first got a computer, I probably would have been all over it. Now I don't have I don't got the patience.
No.
Ain't nobody got time for that sort of
shit. Different world now.
remember when all the games came with like this
thanks, sweet brown
sheet of keyboard commands?
Yeah, we were talking about that, the keyboard overlay. Yes.
Yes.
But you still remember the Wing Commander key commands, right?
Some of them. It's been a while. Absolutely. I'm going through TIE Fighter right now, but I haven't played the Wing
Commander. The two different option screens, that's always a tricky one. But I digress.
Anyway, so your Kickstarter game, let's get back on that for a second before we wrap up. It has 10 days left.
10 days?
My God, as we record this, it has 10 days left. What do you want to tell people about your game to get them on there, to get them kicking to you? What do you want to say to people? Put you on the spot, man. Come on.
This is where you edit out the gap.
Right.
No. I don't know. That's up to Jim. But,
otherwise, it's going to be very
the gaps take care of themselves. They
yeah,
really
the gaps
do.
The gaps take care of themselves.
No, I kind of like it. I kind of like that stuff. Yeah.
I guess all we can say is you haven't seen nothing yet, and
ooh.
You're going to see later. You're going to like it.
Can't spill all the beans, but...
Well, no, we don't want you to spill all the beans, but, you know, what juicy stuff can you tell us, man?
Have you seen some of the art that we've shown so
Yes,
far?
I have, and I like it very much.
Okay, well, we have 5 artists working on the art for this
Wait,
game.
5? Okay.
We will, yes, indeed. 5 people who really, really want to work on this game.
Oh,
and they come from all different places. Some of them have worked on high-end games. Some of them, a couple of guys are like comic book guys. One guy does like heavy metal album covers and things like that. Real diverse group of
Yeah, you could tell that by looking at this latest update from 2 days ago. There's this, my favorite one is this guy is in a red hood, but it turns purple at the bottom.
Oh, that's a great villain in the game.
I love that look.
Come back in Sea of Stars and be even, more scary.
More villainous.
More villainous, yes.
Yeah, he looks scary. He kind of has a Skeletor, but fashionable.
Yeah, he has a haunted battle station, you know.
A haunted battle station?
Yeah, his guys are all undead, so he has necro drones out there, you know, fighting for
Whoa.
Him. Like, you know, mummies and little fighters and stuff, yeah.
Oh, wow. So is there a specific weapon that'll work on the undead, or is it like a machete that you cut off their heads that comes out of your ship?
It's like a railgun with silver slugs.
Oh, whoa, really?
Actually, really cool.
Oh, now he liked that idea.
No, I love that idea. That way, cool. you're not.
Right. When did this turn into Spelljammer?
Oh, no, that's great.
It does seem to be the fantasy prequel to the game, of course.
But there is a background to the story which goes way, way back in time with sort of this, I don't know what you call them, sort of a what's the early time that we reference?
The ancient time?
Another era of exploration and races in this area of the galaxy. And we hint about that here and there. And so you hear about different heroes that existed in the past and different items and even ships and things like that. The guy that you like, that you see a picture of there, he's a fellow who was, put down in the past. Everybody thinks he's gone. It's kind of like Sauron, in Lord of the Rings. Sauron's gone, right? Absolutely. We put him down. But he's coming back next time. Mm. And he's going to come back even worse. He's going to come back.
So you mentioned you mentioned this awesome looking fellow is a bad guy. Now, is there like a persistent story being told through the different sessions you'll be going through, or will each session be like self-contained with its own little story? Like, will there be a bad guy? Will there be a besides you? Will there be other heroes? That sort of thing.
Well, I mean, each game is a self-contained story.
Okay, so
it's but there's also like an overarching. Kind of a history of the whole universe, the infinite space that you're looking at, like a little slice of it at a time, and it's hard to explain. But it's like there's a lot of things that we'll hint at that have happened in the past, and
some of that is just color. Just background information. That makes the place even more interesting, hopefully. But some of it directly relates to the game that you're playing. So you'll find, characters, in some cases, ships, items, things like that, that are relics of the past. And so there'll be references. You'll be able to pull some of that together. You can already do that in Weird Worlds to some degree if you're paying attention. And reading the descriptions, you'll see connections that aren't, apparent on the surface.
How many, there was a lot of text in Weird Worlds and the first game, which was great. Would you say there's even more this time around in the new game?
I think there probably will be, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, there's going to be more stories to tell, more things going on, more things to describe, probably more dialogue and things like that.
And it's going to be moddable like the other games, I'm sure.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll try and make it as easy as possible to make mods for it.
Got a stretch goal, too, that will let you make your own, combat.
the combat scenario thing.
There's a combat simulator in the game, but one of the stretch goals is to really expand that so you'll be able to create your own combat scenarios. And share them with your friends and stuff like that.
I see that here.
It really is a step in the game, yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a skirmish mode if you think about it.
Right. We really want to do that, so we hope that folks will take us to that level.
Oh, and I'm also excited that you guys are going to be having a separate soundtrack. I just have to admit that.
Cool.
That soundtracks.
Well, that's another thing, too. We have an additional musician this time who's helping with... the theme music for the game and other incidental music. He comes from radio plays, like BBC radio plays and film.
Really?
He's terrific. Yeah, you'll hear, if you listen to the demos, you'll hear a little hint of his first bits of music that he created, to have in this demonstration for Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. But he's terrific. He did a score for a series called The Scarifiers, which is where I first heard of him, heard of Edwin. And it's great. Everybody should check out The Scarifiers. It's really a fun radio series, audio drama series. It's actually humorous. It takes place in the 30s, And there's a little bit of Lovecraft in it, a little bit, you know, these guys are paranormal investigators, and it's real fun. It's like ex-Doctor Who actors, and it's awesome.
Oh, I love that.
So that's how we heard of him anyway, and he did a great theme for that, and I got a hold of him, and he's like, oh, yeah, I want to work on a space game. Oh, heck yeah. He was all over that.
So I have a Cthulhu-y question for you guys. So the I guess it's your mascot or whatever, the alien that seems to appear on all the games, the big-eyed thing with tentacles. Is there a backstory behind that?
One of the races just in, like a really the game, cool initial piece of artwork the Zorg.
Stuck around.
That's what they look like. the guy that's...
They're the guys that can, you know, fold space, and they have teleporting fighters and things like that.
Oh, yeah, them.
At the full race, they have this sort of metaphysical culture. I don't know how you describe it.
Well, I think they understand what's going on, you know, in the universe.
And it's possible
maybe
they
do.
They do, but it's...
In fact, it could be, well... a little bit deeper than that, but we can't reveal anything too much about our little pocket dimension called the Purple Void.
Might be able to read it in the Spacetron if we get funded for that.
A pocket dimension? What?
Well, I'm giving away too much, I think, but, you know, there's questions that can arise, like, for example, why are all these races in existence, in the same place, at the same time, with relatively the same technologies. I mean, the same levels of technology. And there's reasons why that is the case, and they're unusual reasons. We know the backstory of that, but we only reveal little bits of it. How much of that we'll reveal this time remains to be seen. But it all started with a brick. all we can say right now, there was an accident and something very, very important occurred.
And I actually think I'm going to buy this board game at some point. I'm looking at the website right now. It's not expensive, and it looks plenty awesome.
Well, there's there's extra cards you can buy for it, too, that adds more stuff.
Yeah, the Infinite Space Explorers X1 expansion.
X1, that's the one.
One. It adds
we'll do an X2, but I'm not sure we get around to it.
No, this is pretty awesome. And cool. I'll definitely have links to this in the show notes.
Great.
Well, guys, I think it's a good time to wrap it up because I'm getting tired, honestly. But I'm just recovering from some minor surgery.
We're just getting started. I'm sorry. What did you say? What did you say?
What?
You're recovering?
Yeah, I had a tooth pulled yesterday. And I'm on Vicodin right now, so I'm a little woozy. Just a little.
Cool. Well, I'm glad you're taking care of yourself.
Got to.
But, I just pulled a while back, a few months ago, too.
Ooh, not fun.
Did you go under for it?
No, I just had the gas.
Oh, I didn't go under either. Boy, isn't that a trip?
I didn't feel a thing until about an hour later.
I know.
Ow.
Ouch.
But right. Gentlemen, Rich, Ika, right? It's Ika?
Yeah.
Gentlemen, it has been a pleasure having you on, learning
Likewise.
More about the game.
Yeah. You made it so easy for us.
Yeah,
thank you
so
much.
Nice talking to you.
No, it's a joy. We're this podcast is very new, and we this is just so much fun doing all this. It was Jim's idea, Jim. So thank you again.
Thank you, Jim.
Yeah,
wow,
and we finally know the terrible truth of Daikatana.
What a crazy-ass tangent that was. My
yeah.
God.
Right.
But, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. Everybody, there's still 10 days left on the Infinite Space 3 Sea of Stars Kickstarter. Go give them money because it looks like an awesome game that if the last two are any indication, people will still be playing for years down the line. So follow the link in the show notes to give them money. And go check out Weird Worlds on Steam. It's an awesome game. Or you can just kick enough to the Infinite Space 3 one, and you'll get a copy of Weird Worlds on Steam. That's the $25 level, I believe. That's the one I kicked to. But, yeah, definitely kick them some money. Gentlemen, again, thank you so much for joining us. It's a lot of fun. And Jim, as always, it has been a pleasure, sir. And everyone follow us on the RSS, like us, rate us on iTunes, and all that fun stuff. And until next time, we be out of Vicodin. I'm almost out of Vicodin.
Take care, Jim. Take care, Brian.